You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Revolution Recap. We have kind of a different type of episode for you today, because the big news of the week, at least in terms of our world and the media landscape, is that the Bent Musket is now the Blazing Musket, and they have revealed that they have a new website available on Substack. And I am joined here today with Sean Donahue and Tanner Ribello, and we are here to announce that we are also joining their outlet and their Substack and are joining them as partners for the Blazing Musket. So, Sean, first off, I know you weren't here last week. I'll start with you. How's it going? And what are your initial thoughts about the Blazing Musket?
Yeah, it's going well, and excited to be, we've always been good friends with the guys at the Bent Musket, so excited to take the partnership further with the Blazing Musket, and I'm sure we'll continue to have several of their contributors, including Sam and Seth, to be, regular guests on the podcast as we have over the years. So it makes a lot of sense for everyone involved, I think, to continue that partnership, strengthen that partnership, and I'm sure Tanner will have more to add, but I think it's very exciting that the Blazing Musket has added kind of Tanner to their roster of writers. It's going to be kind of the go-to place for independent Revs media with what they've done now.
And I'll bring in Tanner too, because Sean, I think for the most part, our podcast, ours and Tanner's podcast is going to be mostly the same. But Tanner, you had the Trifecta Network, and essentially you guys are merging into one website, and you are including your analysis and your weekly notebooks over to the Blazing Musket. So just wanted to get your take on the merger, I'll call it. Also, what you hope to bring to the Blazing Musket and what people can expect from you.
Yeah, obviously, I've been close with the Bent Musket and all those guys, Sam and Seth and Josh and Jake and Dolan and everyone there. And when the Bent Musket kind of went by the wayside and this idea of a Substack came in, and obviously I was already doing the Substack for Trifecta, but I think I saw that opportunity to really consolidate our efforts, provide fans with value, but also a one-stop shop of really good writing. And, I really think that it's going to be the best site for New England soccer, period, on the internet. Yesterday, day one, there was 5 posts on the site. Today, there was 2 posts on the site. So there's a lot of content being churned out. Definitely appreciate everyone that subscribed, and I encourage anyone that's not subscribed to subscribe, because I think this effort and this project is going to be really incredible.
Yeah, and I think that's well said. Tanner, your first notebook is already available, and we're not going to do a deep dive on it right now, but for any of our listeners that want to get caught up on Rev's eMLS drama, Tanner's notebook has you covered, so you got to go check that out right now at www.theblazingmusket.com. You can subscribe under a free or paid subscription. Please go support our efforts to kind of keep independent media alive. And, I wanted this episode to kind of be on the backs of last week's episode, which, by the way, I'm really happy we got a lot of support and a lot of really positive comments. I think it really, I heard from some people that said they didn't realize the situation was so bad. And one person pointed out to me that, Sean, we were contributors for New England Soccer Today, and that closed in 2018. Pro Soccer USA closed down in 2020. Bay State Soccer Sentinel stopped covering the team in 2021. And then right before the 2023 season, the Bent Musket had Vox pull out of their funding. So we had 4 websites covering the team that has ceased to exist. And in the last 5 years, which is a really terrifying rate, and there isn't much going around. So I think all of us kind of felt this was a time to kind of reimagine media and kind of independent media and realize that all of our efforts are better pulled together. And Tanner, as you mentioned, as part of a merger, your Substack on Trifecta Network is going away. We will be no longer having a Patreon supporting our podcast. It's still up. I guess you could subscribe to it if you wanted to for a month or two before we delete it and it is gone forever. But we are asking everyone, if you would like to support our podcast, you can do that by subscribing to the Blazing Musket Substack, which is essentially going to be working with us and will be supporting us going forward. So essentially, you can support all of us together under one Substack instead of subscribing to multiple Substacks altogether. Sean, did you have any further thoughts? I know you weren't on the podcast last week. Did you have any thoughts about last week's episode or anything you wanted to add? I know you've been in Revs Media much longer than Tanner and I.
No, I think you did a great job covering it last week. It is really disappointing to see, you know, SB Nation pull their coverage for soccer, especially at a time when, you know, it seems like soccer is growing in this country, but also at the same time, as you pointed out with the, you know, the Apple TV deal, the risk of it becoming kind of more niche as, you know, everything gets put behind a paywall. It's more important than ever, I think, that the guys at the Blazing Musket continue to do what they do to cover the team, because there's not enough coverage of the team out there. So I'm glad that they didn't let SB Nation pulling the plug be the end of what they were doing. As I think it, you know, you mentioned all those websites, including New England Soccer Today, that have shut down over the past several seasons. There's just not enough coverage of the Revs, and you know, the Blazing Musket is the place to go to at this point for Revolution coverage, and they certainly can't afford to lose that. I think especially going into the season, which kind of so much uncertainty with, you know, the WBZ partnership going away and everything going on that, you know, Apple TV platform.
Yeah, absolutely. And one more thing, too, I want to point out is that the Blazing Musket is going to be doing more than just the Revolution. Tanner, I know that you are going to be focusing on Rhode Island FC coverage next year when they kick off. I think there are a lot of hopes that they can expand and do more stuff. I know Sam Minton wants to do a lot of Vermont Green stuff. And I've heard from some people, too, some people kind of reaching out and how they can get involved. And, you know, if you are a young high school or college student and you have journalistic aspirations, Tanner and I kind of talked about, you know, there used to be kind of a pipeline and a pathway for people to get involved with Revs coverage. And it kind of led on to bigger and better things. Some people have kind of reached out and kind of asked about it. And Revs coverage for 2023, there's only so many credentials the Blazing Musket can have for a given season. But if you want to help out with the Blazing Musket, I think they're looking for Hartford. If you want to do Hartford Athletic, if you want to do Rhode Island FC next year, if you wanted to cover Vermont or another local team, maybe Boston City FC, maybe do kind of local soccer coverage like that. In theory, Boston might be getting a WSL team in the near future. I think they're open to kind of everything. So you can reach out. And as I say, it might be tough to do Revs coverage for this year, but going forward, I think they're hoping that this is just the beginning and they can kind of expand to cover soccer throughout the region, which Sean, we did kind of with New England Soccer Today. I covered the Rochester Rhinos when they were affiliates with the Revolution. I did Boston City FC. And that's kind of an interesting experience because you get to interact with the coaches and the front office a little bit more. And you have more chances to interview players, and I think it certainly helped me for when we moved on to the podcast. So sorry, that's a bit long-winded. I don't want to take up too much more time. Tanner, did you have any final thoughts here?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, right? Like, we're looking to cover everything. I think obviously there's a lot on everyone's plates right now and they're trying to build this, but I think making it a one-stop shop, and obviously I'll be covering Rhode Island FC next year, and I do think there's a lot of opportunities for young journalists. But that being said, you know, what I did when I started Trifecta, I launched my own website. I wrote for my own website. I got credentialed through my own website. Like, there is other paths too. Like, I don't want to discourage anyone. Like, you don't need the Blazing Musket to launch your own thing. I think the best thing you can do if you're interested is to start writing and start doing it.
And with that in mind too, if you want to talk about the Revs, if you want to write about the Revs, if you want to start a podcast on the Revs, feel free to reach out. We'll help you out. we'll guide you in the right path. There's a lot of websites that, you know, they don't have solid rev coverage now, but if you're interested in writing and need advice, I think all of us, you know, don't mind giving advice and helping out people and young aspiring writers where we can. So, one more thing too, the bad thing about kind of ad-libbing that conversation that was all kind of spur of the moment and off the top of our head, and I know it went on too long, and I know some people probably want us to move on already, but I want to just give a shout out to a couple of people and Twitter accounts that I think kind of are, you know, in the media realm and are good follows. And I know if you've listened to this podcast forever, you've probably heard these names before, but I didn't mention them last week, and I hate excluding people, and I probably am missing someone here too. But I just wanted to give a shout out to Revolution Central, Andy from Revs Nation, who has a very, very good article today about season ticket holders and their benefits and how it compares to the rest of the league. He posted that today, so you can check that out on Revolution Nation. Revolution Report, who is not as active, Any Revs UK, and of course Gustavo Lopez, who hopefully will get on at some point this season. All great follows, all contribute to the Revs media landscape. So if you don't follow them on social media, make sure you do. I think that's it. I think that's all we need to talk about for media coverage. I'm sorry if that's long-winded. I'm sorry if that's a boring topic for you, but I'm tired of eulogizing websites and I don't know. I'm really excited about the Blazing Musket, and I'm really glad we've kind of reset going forward. So let's talk about the Revs. And no Revolution games, but we got some international debuts. DeJuan Jones, Dylan Barrero, Jorge Petrovic. Tanner, what were your thoughts about these international debuts, and did anyone impress you?
Yeah, I think DeJuan Jones impressed me a lot. It was really good to see him get this opportunity to get his first cap. I think if you watch DeJuan Jones ever since he came in the league for the Revolution, you've just seen that he has something special. He has pace. He can make recoveries. He's dangerous in the attacking third. He's one of the best outside backs in Major League Soccer, and he's been one of the best for a couple of years. So it's really great to see him get a look at the national team level. It is kind of tough that there isn't a full-time coach right now for the U.S. men's national team, so though maybe these games might not matter as much as if they had a permanent coach in place. But that being said, I think a lot of people have said his days in New England are numbered, and I would tend to agree with that. But the counterpoint is that I thought his days in New England were numbered for a long time. So DeJuan Jones is my main takeaway. I think it's really great to see him get that national team look.
It was interesting, too, that his two appearances came as a right back instead of as a left back. He's played most of his time with the Revs as a left back. But I thought he did really well as a substitute against Serbia. I thought he was a bright spot, had created a lot of chances. I thought he did well against Colombia as well. But, you know, I completely agree with you. DeJuan Jones was a huge bright spot, and he's, you know, probably the takeaway from these two games. But Dylan Barrero, I think we had to talk about it as well, because I thought he played really well against the United States. At one point, I think, deep into the game, he still had 100% passing accuracy. But what was fascinating to me is that he was playing more of a narrow role. So Colombia played a 4-3-3 formation, and he was playing in that three-man midfield instead of as a winger, which is not something we've seen Barrero do for the Revolution. And to me, I found that fascinating because, you know, when I'm thinking about formations for the Revs this year, I was really thinking to get the most out of Barrero. We were probably going to see them play with wingers. But on the flip side, you know, I've struggled to figure out what they're going to do with Gustavo Bo if they do that. And now that I saw Barrero play this way, the construction of the Revolution roster strikes me a little bit different, and that maybe we do see the diamond again, that I wasn't necessarily a big fan of the way the Revolution played with it last year. But I think the way Barrero played for Colombia, that would actually potentially work really, really well in a diamond formation as kind of one of the two guys in front of Matt Polster. And I think Blessing potentially could work really, really well in the diamond formation, you know, where you have Matt Polster as kind of your defensive midfield anchor, Blessing and Barrero as kind of the two-way players, and Carles Gil as your number 10, and then obviously up top, Bowen Veroni. So that was kind of one of the things that I was thinking. I know Seth was thinking as well. We were both tweeting about it as we were watching that game, that, you know, the way Barrero was playing and how narrow he was playing and how effective he was in that role, that, you know, maybe we do see that diamond again this year, and maybe the Revs roster construction suddenly does look more like it might be built for that diamond, given how Barrero played. Because my concern has always been that Barrero looks so good on the wing, you don't want to kind of waste his talent by forcing him to play in kind of that diamond, which I think to a certain extent, when Buchanan was playing in that diamond, you know, he made it work, but it wasn't really a comfortable fit for him. But if Barrero can play like he played for Colombia, all of a sudden, you know, he's also very effective there, and it looks a lot more comfortable than I'd say Buchanan did in that role. So that was kind of my Rev's take from that Colombia U.S. match, is just the way Barrero played and how effective he was in more of a central or more of a narrow role. might translate to a different formation for the Revs this year, or not a different formation, but for them actually using it at 4-4-2 diamond with him playing more narrow than as a winger. And I think that's something to look for, and I'm sure they'll at least try it out in preseason.
I think that was pretty well said, Sean, in terms of Barrero. And Tanner, I agree with everything you said about DeJuan Jones. I want to focus on DeJuan Jones a little bit, though. And I'll ask Sean, and then Tanner, you can answer after Sean. Do we think DeJuan Jones has a chance at staying on that national team level? Because I think a lot of people outside of New England were very surprised at what they saw and said, why didn't we bring this guy? Why did we bring Shaq Moore, but not DeJuan Jones? And I think that's a legitimate question. I mean, to me, a lot of people call this Camp Cupcake. A lot of people think that this is not a very serious camp, especially with the head coach carousel and Anthony Hudson being the lame duck United States men's national team manager right now. It might not do him any good, but I thought it was impressive enough that he should really get a serious look, and it's kind of embarrassing that it took this long to get a cap. So, Sean, then Tanner, what are your thoughts about his long-term prospects with the national team?
I mean, I think his long-term prospects with the national team are heightened by him being at a left back. So I think to that extent, it was unfortunate that the way this camp played out and the roster construction led to him playing right back. Because you look at the U.S. roster right now, and there's two very young right backs that he is not going to overtake. Serginho Dest, 22 years old. He's the starter for the U.S. national team at right back. Joe Scally, 20 years old, starting in the Bundesliga at right back, playing really, really well. Barring injuries to both of those guys, I think the opportunity to play right back on the U.S. is going to be very limited. And I think at left back, you got Anthony Robinson, who, you know, obviously played well at the World Cup, playing in the Premier League, as the shoe-in kind of starter at left back. But the depth behind him, I think, is a lot more attainable for DeJuan Jones. And I do think realistically, if DeJuan Jones keeps playing well, that there's a shot for him to kind of break in and be that second choice left back. But I do think it's actually kind of unfortunate that his minutes ended up being a right back in this camp, because I think the opening for a left back on the national team is a lot better. With all that said, though, I do think that if he really wants to continue to be a big part of the U.S. national team, he probably does need to move to Europe in the pretty near term.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think for him to take that next step, it's really going to be challenging himself. I think he's proven in Major League Soccer he's one of the best left backs, but I think he needs to go to Europe and play in a top flight league and get that experience, because if you look at a lot of the players he's going to be playing with, they're going to be a lot of European-based soccer players. So I think there's something to it in getting that experience. And I do think the January camp generally is a camp you get a look at a player. But some players can impress and they can work their way into the team. The biggest question is just who's the future, who's the head coach, right? And what's their plan? What's their strategy? And how do you think about building this team to 2026? Because I think that has to be the focus right now if you're trying to find the next head coach. And if you're that head coach, you want to have a roster that's going to be with you in 2026, or theoretically be with you. So I think the fact that DeJuan Jones is 25 years old, I know it's crazy to say, but it may age him out versus maybe a younger player that might be a better fit.
All very good points, too. And it's curious to see what happens with DeJuan Jones this season. I know there are reports of European interest and multiple teams from multiple leagues throughout Europe inquiring on DeJuan Jones. So who knows what jersey DeJuan Jones is going to be in at the end of this year? And who knows what jersey you're going to be in when you order a mystery kit from Golasso Kits, our sponsor? Their mission is to bring unique vintage jerseys to your home with a catalog of jerseys, jackets, scarves, and more from clubs and national teams from over 80 countries in the world. They have merch from the United States men's national team, the Revs, local, regional, international, whatever you want, they have it. They had a Providence City jersey on their site last week. We talked about it in our last podcast. If you slept on it, it is gone now, but there's going to be something that you want. And if you don't know what you want, you can use their mystery kit package to put in the size and the style of jersey that you like, and they will send you the kit of your dream that you didn't even know you wanted. So go to GolassoKits.com right now for their full selection, and make sure you follow them at GolassoKits on Twitter and GolassoKits on Instagram for updates on their new inventory. And when you find something that you like, use promo code REVSRECAP to save 15% off your order. That is promo code REVSRECAP to save 15% off your order. Links and code are in the show notes. One other Revs note I want to talk about today, and this is also on the Blazing Musket. Seth McComber had an interview with Bruce Arena. Bruce did not give too many things away, but there was one comment in this article that I wanted to highlight, and that is Bruce Arena was asked if there were going to be any moves before the season opener, if they're going to add any more players. And Bruce Arena's exact quote, quote, "We have to get through preseason before we can figure anything out, to be honest with you. We're not going to be adding any more players than what we have." And I found that quote to be very interesting, because does what we have mean on the roster, or does that mean players in preseason? As we've talked about on the last podcast, Ima Boateng is in preseason with the Revs on trial. They also have two Revolution 2 players in Pierre Caillet, a center back, and Nico Kem. Oh, I'm going to mispronounce this one. Campuzano. I'm going to call him Nico. Pierre Caillet and Nico, a goalkeeper, two Revolution 2 players, are also in camp. Tanner, do you think Ima, Pierre, or Nico is going to be added before the end? Before the beginning of the season?
The way I kind of read Bruce's comments was meaning more of who's in camp now versus maybe who's on the roster. But I'd be incredibly shocked if they made a move other than, you know, maybe like Ima Boateng. This is the time where you're pretty much fairly locked, right? You're trying to build towards the opener, and then at that point you assess until the summer window. So when I read Bruce's comments, like I said, I think it was more about bringing external players in and less about who's in camp right now.
Yeah, I also interpreted him that way. And I don't love the comment, because I do think there are some holes in this Revolution roster right now. Like, who is your backup right back? You got a ton of center backs potentially on the roster and in camp, but who is your backup right back? Is your backup right back, you move DeJuan Jones to right back and then put Ryan Spalding left back? Because I'm not a fan of that. Or is your backup right back that Andrew Farrell, who's, you know, now in his 30s, all of a sudden goes back to playing right back? Because I also don't think that's a great idea. So, you know, I think that's a hole that the Revs need to address. I think right now you don't have a great defensive midfield option behind Matt Polster with Martial out long term injured. That's something I would have liked to have seen them address. And then I guess if this is what the roster is going to look like, I even more so think that they might go with that, you know, 4-4-2 diamond, because they are pretty thin on wingers, with, you know, Nacho and Barrero really kind of the only natural wingers on the roster. I mean, we've seen, you know, they got Esmer Buck who can play there, Rivera who can play there, but really there's not a lot of depth on the wings if they're going to play with wingers this year. So I do think there's still some holes in this roster, with, you know, right back probably being the most glaring and defensive midfield depth probably being the second most glaring. So I think from that standpoint, to me, unless there's somebody in camp I'm not aware of, it doesn't look like much help is coming there, and I think that's a mistake.
I should note, too, unsigned draft picks Victor Souza and Andreas Ulund are also in camp with the Revolution, so maybe they are possibilities to be signed.
Both center backs, though.
Both center backs. I don't think they'd add anything at this stage, especially after the move for Dave Romney, so I don't know. I agree with your comments there, Sean. I feel like there are a couple more holes, and it also seems like MLS free agency was very slow this year. There are still a lot of players that are available. Sean Johnson just signed last week. I believe Bill Hamid is still available. I think Ola Kamara is still available. There are a lot of players around. Jaleel Anababa is still available. The list of free agents at the beginning of this offseason and the players that are currently available now that camp has started aren't too far off. So free agency in Major League Soccer has been a very, very strange this year, and I think if I was the Revolution, I'd still be shopping a little bit. So
yeah, I think, you know, Ben Rovino still on the roster, he could play right back as well, but yeah, they're really, really thin, especially if they're contemplating a transfer of DeJuan Jones at any point this year.
That's a very good point. I think outside back is a real cause for concern, and I know we talked about Bulma's versatility. I don't know if they maybe think they view him as a outside back at some point, but I don't know. There's a lot of pieces on this team, and I'm not really sure. This is really the first year since we've been doing this podcast where I could see a wide range of formations and lineups going into preseason. Normally, I think they have the starting 11 nailed down. A lot of people know what to expect. This year is going to be a little bit different. So one more piece of news here. Apple TV has named more commentators, more names on that list. Former Revolution Recap guest Brian Dunseth, Not on that list, Brad Feldman or Charlie Davies. Sean, any reaction to these additional names being revealed for Apple TV? And are you surprised or not surprised that Brad and Charlie didn't make the list?
Yeah, I mean, there's some good names certainly that were added. Adrian Healy, who used to do Revs games way back in the day and is a fantastic commentator, added on play-by-play. Excited by that. Excited by Brian Dunseth. I think he does a fantastic job as an analyst. But I'm surprised. I thought we'd see at least one of Brad or Charlie on this list by now. And I think someone was doing the math, and based on what they originally said, there's only kind of room for one more English language commentary pair to come on there. So it seems like the chances of them being added at this point are pretty low. So it's, you know, disappointing for that the voices of the revolution, you know, Brad has been doing it pretty much forever, and Charlie haven't been a part of this. And, you know, there hasn't been any announcement about radio yet. I don't know if that's coming soon, but there hasn't been any announcement there yet. And I hopefully, if Brad and Charlie aren't picked up by Apple TV, that, you know, they stick around and do the radio broadcast. But I was a little bit surprised that, you know, at least one of them wasn't added. But at the same time, you know, happy to see Brian Dunseth, happy to see Adrian Healy, and, you know, a lot of other big names on this list. That's exciting to see. It's a very good list that MLS has put together, for the most part. And I'm glad to see a lot of really big names on there that were key gets for them, while at the same time being surprised. You know, one other name I wanted to mention too is, you know, Glenn Davis, down in Houston, who has been covering MLS forever and I think does a really good job, said that he's not going to be picked up by Apple TV, not going to be part of Apple TV. And that was another one, that surprised me as well. So, very interesting.
Yeah. You know, I was more concerned about the Apple TV commentators prior to hearing some news that has sort of been leaked out and shared out at this point. But the fact that they're looking at doing regional commentating teams so that you have sort of a pair for a certain region, so you're going to potentially have more consistency on game calls than you would have otherwise. Because one of the concerns that I had initially with this idea was you're going to get a bunch of national guys calling games, national teams. But the fact that they're looking at it more regional and you're going to have the same couple pairs calling your games, I think is going to potentially help with the consistency, the announcers knowing the ins and outs of the team. And then also the fact that they're going to have the ability to sync up to the radio feed in the app. I am a little skeptical on the execution of this in terms of you hear something on the radio. Obviously, you're going to be more descriptive. You're going to call things out. And on TV, you're going to be seeing replays. So I'm a little concerned about the execution of that radio sync up. But I think the league has done some things nice to address some of those national broadcast concerns and try to implement some locality into it. I do think it is incredibly sad if Brad Feldman's not a part in some way of the Revolution broadcast team for this year, just given the fact that he's been doing it forever. And he's been a voice that many Revolution fans have come to know over the years.
Yeah, I think that is a downside, is that a lot of local voices are not going to be able to continue on. And I'm very surprised about Charlie Davies. I thought he was for sure a shoe-in for Apple TV. I wonder if I know there is a travel component too, so maybe it might not fit the lifestyle that Charlie wants or some of these commentators want. I think it's a shame that Brad and Charlie are both being left off too. And one more name too, Sean, you mentioned a handful of names that should have gotten the call and didn't. I know former commentator for the Columbus Crew, Jordan Angeli, who also did the MLS Assist podcast with Joseph Lowry a few years ago. I've always enjoyed her analysis, and she was on the call for the Columbus Crew Revolution game in Columbus this past year. I thought she did a great job commentating. I believe she landed with the Colorado Rapids. I think I saw that today. But I thought that was also another slam dunk, easy hire for Apple TV, and they kind of botched that one too. So mixed emotions to this Apple TV. I think everyone here is holding their breaths on how this launch goes and what this means for the league long term, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
But and just quickly, Tanner, you make a good point when you bring up that, you know, there's going to be more regional focus of some of these guys who get to know the teams better, which is great. But you look at, you know, who's on this list, and again, there's a lot of really good names on there. I think they've done a great job of picking them out, but there aren't a lot of guys with ties to the Revs. There's Taylor Twellman, obviously, but I feel like he's going to be reserved for kind of the bigger matches with his name. And I feel like, you know, if they're going to regionalize somebody, whoever you get for New England is probably not going to be someone that has covered the Revs for many years or has been. So I mean, they'll learn and it'll be good as the season goes on. But I think that's kind of a disappointing part when you kind of look at all these broadcast pairings. There's guys from a lot of different teams, but outside of Twellman and of course Adrian Healy, who was here years ago, there's not much of in the way of, you know, guys that really know the Revs for, you know, for many years. And I do think that Twellman's probably gonna be put on the big broadcast rather than kind of regionalized towards the Revs.
Well, good points, Sean. And that just about wraps us up. This is a short podcast today. No listener questions today. We kind of want to just get some quick hitters out, and we want to talk about the Blazing Musket a little bit. Tanner, any final thoughts before we wrap up here today?
The first preseason game is coming up on Thursday against Inter Miami. So that's something definitely look forward to, sort of the sign that the spring is coming. So,
Sean, any final thoughts before we wrap up here today?
Yeah, I'd be looking a lot more forward to the preseason games if we could watch them, or if there was even any indication that there was going to be, you know, reporting on them, because it's, you know, very secretive, and who knows if we're going to get much of any information out of them. Usually there's been at least one or two preseason games that have been streamed, but we haven't heard about any of them this year doing that. So that to me is a little bit disappointing going into the season, especially with all the new additions the Revolution have made, that we're not going to get to see any of them in preseason and, you know, until the season actually starts. I'm just excited for the actual season to start, for us to see games, and really excited to continue to read the Blazing Musket, and everyone should go there and support them and sign up for the Substack, because the region needs independent media coverage. And again, especially with, you know, all the broadcasting going behind the paywall at Apple TV and the league controlling all of that, I think it's, you know, more important than ever that sites like the Blazing Musket exist and thrive. So please support them.
And one more thought here. I did do a spot on the MLS Aces podcast. If you've been a longtime listener of this podcast, you know we've talked about them a few times. Tom, who does that podcast, does a great job covering MLS. And right now he is doing a team preview for every team in the league. Kind of quick 10-15 minute snippets. He brings in a guest. I got to do the Revolution episode. So if you want to hear some quick in-depth team previews, go check out the MLS Aces podcast. And even if you don't, just give him a follow on Twitter and see the content he's making over there. And Sean, by the way, while we're talking about Revolution Media, I think we need to give you a round of applause too, because while I was combing through our catalog on our platform where we publish our episodes, I realized that the last episode we published was 298, which means this is 299. And so our next episode is going to be episode 300, going all the way back to 2005 when you started Revolution Recap. So I think you deserve a big pat on the back for covering the team as long as you have and building Revolution Recap to what it is. So I think we might try to do something special for episode 300. We'll keep you in the know on that. So follow us on Twitter and make sure you follow us there. But Sean, tip of the cap for the big 300.
Thank you. And there might be one or two that are missing from the archive, but we'll ignore that and continue to roll with the 300. It's an exciting milestone, and it's crazy to think that we've been doing this that long.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Follow us on Twitter at Revolution Recap, and make sure you are following our Revolution Instagram and Facebook pages. Be sure to follow The Blazing Musket on Twitter at The Blazing Musket, and follow their work online at www.theblazingmusket.com. And please, please, please subscribe. And also be sure to follow our friends at The Rebellion, on Twitter, and go to anyrebellion.org to learn more about them. And also be sure to check out our sponsor, Galasso Kits, and use promo code REVSRECAP for 15% off your order on anything in their inventory. And as we talked about last week, make sure you are subscribed on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And if you could rate and review us 5 stars wherever you are listening, we greatly appreciate it. A lot of people really went to bat for us and left us some reviews and were very kind. And I know an episode like last week is probably going to get that response, but it meant a lot. And I just wanted to say thank you for everyone who does listen to us and does appreciate this show. That's it. Looking forward to the 2023 season. We'll be back soon with episode 300. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Revolution Recap, and we'll have more details for you soon. Until then, thank you everyone for listening, and go Revs.